You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. I hear the weather has really warmed up back east, Tony. You've been out enjoying nature?
Tony Kornheiser, not really a nature guy. Does the driving range count? Does that count?
Well,
going to the range?
You know, I'm sort of in the tank for the driving range. Are the cherry blossoms out yet? Are they out early? It's like 2 weeks early. Are they out already?
They're not out yet. They're coming out early, though. It appears that winter is over when it's over 70 degrees in March. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Mookie Betts moves to short, Rory McIlroy is worried about golf, and Brian Windhorst joins us for 5 good minutes.
Good.
But we begin today with the New Orleans Pelicans. They've won 4 games in a row, the longest current streak in the league. Zion Williamson has been relatively healthy. He's on track for a career high in games played, averaging 22 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and he's had a couple of highlight blocks lately. So, Wilbon, is it time to take the Pelicans seriously?
Yeah, Tony, I thought it was time a little while ago before the 4-game streak, just because of what you said about health. Look, that's everything for New Orleans. And it's not just Zion. It's Brandon Ingram as well. Those guys miss seasons, it seems. When they are out there with C.J. McCollum, with Herb Jones, with Valanciunas, with Trey Murphy coming off the bench, they're as good as anybody in the West except Denver. They're not Denver good. But they could threaten the Clippers, who have slid a little bit lately. They could certainly threaten Dallas or Phoenix or Sacramento or the Lakers or Golden State. Yes. And so much of it's on Zion, as you mentioned, Tony. And he feels really good. He does. And if I was, you know, anywhere around the New Orleans franchise at the top of the pyramid, I would just make sure all the great celebrity chefs of New Orleans are not allowed to contact Zion. Because if you keep them away from Zion and you keep him on the court, again, with Brandon Ingram, he's critical. And McCollum is your experience. Yes, it's time to take them seriously.
Okay, let's examine this 4-game winning streak for a second. They beat Indiana, pretty good team, playoff team. They beat Toronto, bad team, under 500. They beat Philadelphia without Embiid, bad team without Embiid, 10-21 without Embiid, and they beat Atlanta, bad team under 500. So let's not take 4 games and make it into Joe DiMaggio.
No, not those games,
right?
No.
It's not that I'm not going to take New Orleans seriously. I will. I know, for example, they're in the top 10 in efficiency, offense, and defense.
Yes.
They're in the top five in shooting percentage from three, and they're number one defending against the three. But all of those teams you mentioned, Mike, I take them more seriously in the West. And I don't know that you mentioned Minnesota, so I will mention Minnesota.
I did. Or
I can't imagine, Mike.
Yeah.
I can't imagine New Orleans. I can't imagine them in the conference final. Maybe you can. I can't.
Tony, they have all the ingredients. They really do. That's why I said I took them seriously before the 4-game streak, because 4-game streak doesn't mean as much to me. But there are teams ahead of them, and it's hard to climb over all of them, but it's not golf. You don't have to beat all of them. You got to beat who's in front of you. But they're intriguing, Tony. They seem to have the stuff. Can they put it together? Can they stay healthy? Believe it or not, we're just 1 week away from the opening of Major League Baseball season. It's going to open in South Korea. The Padres, we take on the Dodgers in Seoul. Tony, you and I have history in Seoul. Who will start the season with Mookie Betts playing shortstop. Betts moved from right field to second base for a chunk of last season and also dabbled at shortstop. But he'll now be out there full-time as Gavin Lux, who's been having throwing issues, moves to second base. Tone, do you see Betts, now 31 years old, him playing shortstop as a good thing or bad thing for the loaded-up Dodgers?
So initially, when I saw this, I thought it was a bad thing because it meant that Gavin Lux isn't who we thought he was. And the Dodgers have lost all-star shortstops in the last few years.
They have.
Free agency, Corey Seager and Trey Turner, and Gavin Lux was counted on to replace them. But the more I thought about it, Mike, the more I thought it was a good thing. And that's because of my complete faith in Mookie Betts. You don't ever underestimate Mookie Betts and what he can do. Mookie Betts, this is a direct quote. This is a dream come true. Because he played shortstop in high school and a little bit in the low minors. When he went up to Boston, they put him in the outfield, and he won 6 gold gloves and an MVP. So you said, oh, he's never coming back to the infield. But he was at second last year, you know, and a little bit at short. My feeling about this, Mike, is that if he's excited about it, if he's thrilled by it, then it's a very good move, even though I understand that shortstop, particularly on the throwing arm, is a harder position to play than second.
Tony, I had the same reaction as you. When I first heard it, I was like, no. He's up there on a short list in right field with Roberto Clemente when it comes to gold gloves and Dwight Evans. I mean, he's up there on the all-time right fielders. Top 10 all-time at the very least, maybe top 5. But then, Tony, as I saw that same quote, as I heard Mookie Betts say, I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm like, that's it. Mookie Betts, he's one of those guys who gets all the benefit of the doubt. There are players in every sport who may show you flashes of brilliance. They may even win. They don't get benefit of the doubt fully every day. Mookie Betts does. And if he's excited about it, the Dodgers may need a little bit of that. They may need a little injection of everybody not being too cool for school.
No, I completely agree. And they're not going to beat you on defense anyway. They got offense to beat you. I mean, as long as the middle infield isn't a sieve, I think they're going to be all right. We move on. The Players' Championship opens tomorrow. Promising as always, the greatest field in golf. But a lot of great players have left the PGA Tour for the Saudi Tour. And this year's Players event is without 3 of the last 5 major winners, Jon Rahm, Cam Smith, and Brooks Koepka. Wilbon, does the Players feel diminished to you?
I'm going to steal your move and go to the glasses. Yeah, it is diminished. And they can't get to a merger quick enough. And the stuff that the Commissioner Monahan is talking about is nonsense, okay? Because when you are missing the following people, first of all, just start with the 3 you mentioned, Rahm, Cam Smith, and Brooks Koepka. That's letting you down, okay? Now you're diminished. When you get to Neiman, DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Tyrrell Hatton, Bubba, I know Bubba hadn't done much lately, but Oosthuizen, Paul Casey, who've been playing well. Tony, sorry. This is going to be looked back as a year where it may not carry an asterisk, but you look back and go, eh. I don't care about the 144. I care about those 10 guys that we just mentioned. That's a substantial chunk of the field, 8 of whom could win. To me, Rahm is the best player in the world. I realize he's not number 1. I get that. But Jon Rahm, if you're missing Rahm alone, your field is diminished. They can say what they want. Even Rory said, we can't get to this thing fast enough. Monahan, stop doubling down and realize the problem you've got.
Yeah, so not only is the Players diminished, the entire PGA Tour, as you're suggesting, is diminished. I watch a lot of golf, as you know. I always call you. You're not watching and I'm watching.
Not yet.
This year, with the exception of Wyndham Clark winning at Pebble and Matsuyama winning at Riviera, I believe, and then last week at the Arnold Palmer, Scottie Scheffler winning. The winners all year long so far, I don't even know who they are. There was a Frenchman who won. I did not know him. There was an amateur who won. I did not know him. There was a blonde kid with huge biceps who used to be a bouncer in a bar. I didn't know him, and I didn't know the bar. Rory hasn't won. JT hasn't won. Spieth hasn't won. Morikawa hasn't won. Finau hasn't won. Cantlay hasn't won. They haven't won. This thing is diminished. Rory is right when Rory points out that the tour, the Saudi tour, is basically handing out $100 million gift cards. And he's saying the only time the great players will see each other is in majors. Mike, this is a very dangerous thing because it means that golf will become tennis, that only 4 tournaments will matter. And when Jay Monahan actually says the PGA Tour is stronger than ever, are you on drugs?
What is he talking about?
What are you talking about?
That's
what?
Nuts.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Coming up, why is scoring down so much in the NBA? We will ask Brian Windhorst.
We'll also ask him how concerned the Clippers are or should be about those back spasms that drove Kawhi Leonard from last night's game. Tony, I'll start watching, you know, and I'll watch fanatically. But they're in trouble if they don't come up with a merger. They're in trouble.
They are. The leaderboards have been terrible other than the Arnold Palmer on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
You don't know anybody on the leaderboard.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Let's dig into the NBA with our great friend ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst. Brian, we'll start with this. The NBA fined Rudy Gobert $100,000 after he made the money sign at Scott Foster and he did not back down in the post game. How concerned is the league about the perception of its officiating?
Well, I think let's separate this because this was not necessarily a comment on NBA officiating. It was a comment on Scott Foster. And I don't know how many active NBA players know about Foster's history, but I think the documentary that came out a year and a half ago about Tim Donaghy really opened a lot of players up to already have more animus there. And I think what he was referring to and he was referencing was, you know, past, you know, allegations about Scott Foster, which the NBA has had investigated. And I just think it's another reason for players to dislike Scott Foster. Having said that, I think the NBA probably needs Scott Foster more than anything else, which is a commentary on the quality of officials right now, because they've had so many veteran officials leave in recent years, either by retirement or for other reasons. And so they kind of have to have him. He is still regarded as one of the best officials in the league. And I think that's what the league is focused on. They're more focused on the challenge of getting their officiating as a whole better and what their perceptions are. But that money sign, that was a message to Foster. That wasn't a message to every referee.
Oh, the players versus Scott Foster. On and on it goes. Meanwhile, Brian, scoring is down since the All-Star break. I think that's way too small a sample size to matter at all. But I know other people think differently. What are you thinking? What's being said about it?
Well, the conspiracy theorists are going to have to take their pick. Are the NBA officials like bumbling, stumbling, and incompetent? Or are they so organized that with the flip of a switch, they can instantaneously change the entire direction of the NBA because of their incredible brilliance? Which is it? So pick one or the other. I will say this. This is not a conspiracy. Back in January, the league put out publicly a video from the head of officiating, Monty McCutcheon, talking about the mid-season points of emphasis. And better than half of that video was focusing on eliminating or reducing foul hunting by players. This is something the NBA told the world. And I think January 19th or 20th, it came out, said we're going to try to get a point of emphasis to not let these guys get away from this foul hunting. Generally, since that video, not just since the All-Star break, but even in late January onward, fouls started going like this. All that stuff started going like this. I think the NBA was reacting to their midseason adjustment. I don't think it was a grand conspiracy. That said, there's no doubt it's down, and it's interesting, and I think we're going to continue to watch it. But I agree with you, Wilbon. Let's not make a blanket statement until we see how the rest of the season finishes.
Yeah, and tied to that in a way, Brian, is the Athletic reporting that the league's competition committee is reportedly discussing more defensive freedom going forward. Defensive freedom seems awfully vague to me. It ain't going to go back to the 1980s. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I think, first off, when something gets to the competition committee, most of the time it results in new rules. And so the competition committee, which meets throughout the year and then will make recommendations to the NBA Board of Governors, the owners, essentially, over the summer, will probably recommend putting some things that allow defensive players to be a little bit more physical. The where that goes down, how it gets discussed, that's all being, you know, handled right now. But I think what you will see going into next season is the NBA turning the dial back, trying to correct the situation. This is what the league generally does. I know because it's scoring and because records are falling, it's very it's a hot button issue. But the NBA is always tinkering with that knob on various things, on traveling, on flopping, on other stuff. And right now they're trying to turn back the defense, because I think one of the things that the coaches have been making clear to the league is they don't know how to coach defense. They don't know how to tell their players how to play, because they're telling them things and instructing them. The players are following their instructions and getting called for fouls. And so I think that's what they want to tone down. I think we will see that into next season.
Because nobody wants to watch 140 to 135 3 days a week. Nobody really does. We'll get you out of here on this. We'll go from the theoretical to the absolute real. Kawhi Leonard left the game and the arena last night with back spasms after only 12 minutes. What is the level of concern about this from the Clippers?
Well, this has been bothering him apparently for a few days now. If you're dealing with a Kawhi Leonard injury that's not to his knee or to his quad, it's okay. It's something that the Clippers can manage. They may need to give him some time off. You know, he has been very healthy. James Harden has played every game since he's been traded there. He's dealing with a shoulder injury now, too. But the Clippers' bigger challenge is that they're 7-7 in their last 14 games, and their defense in that stretch has collapsed. And so whether Kawhi Leonard is out there or not, and they obviously have to make sure his back is okay, they've lost the momentum that they had. There was a golden opportunity there for the Clippers to pass the Timberwolves with Karl Towns out and, you know, get into that, you know, one or two seed, which could make home court in the second round. And they've sort of let that go through with these struggles. And there was a golden opportunity with the Wolves on their floor to try to have a double win with the tiebreak on the line as well. So the Clippers have a number of things that are bothering them right now. Paul George talked about focus being an issue. There's a number of things for them to address in addition to Kawhi's health.
Thank you, Brian. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Brian.
For us. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Chargers release a big-name wide receiver.
And the Yankees are going to be without Gerrit Cole for a little while now.
Mike, I find it interesting that when things get to the competition committee, it means change is coming.
Yeah.
Because enough
people
are saying...
They're not going back to this.
This is
I tell you that. They're not going to make LeBron and Steph play against this like Michael Jordan had to.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 29th birthday, Michaela Schifrin. Schifrin just came back from a knee injury and won her 8th World Cup slalom season championship last Sunday in Sweden. This win ties Schifrin with downhillers Lindsey Vonn and Ingemar Stenmark for the most season titles in a single discipline. But Schifrin has the all-time individual World Cup wins record all to herself. She has 96 of them. She broke Stenmark's record of 86 last year, and she is the preeminent slalom and giant slalom skier of all time. Schifrin has 2 gold Olympic medals and 1 silver, but she was famously shut out in Beijing in 2022. The Colorado native's next Olympic chance will come in Italy in 2026 at a course she loves.
I know you remember this stuff clearly, but Dan Jansen, Tony, he had struggles in Calgary, and then he struggled again in next Olympics against Lillehammer. You were there, but he bounced back, right? And he won 2 gold actually in Lillehammer, where you were. Bounced back.
He won in Lillehammer.
I hope
the happiest guy in Norway
recovers like that. I hope she does.
Not so happy anniversary, Kevin Love. On this day, 13 years ago, Love's consecutive double-double streak was put to bed when the Warriors held him to 6 points. Love held the post-merger NBA record at 53 consecutive double-doubles. Now, 53 is a lot, but if you go pre-merger, the number is 227 in a row, set, of course, by Wilt and Norman Chamberlain, who also had double-double streaks of 220 and 133, which make 53 look like something you'd work on in a garage. The current active leader, Domantas Sabonis, he's working on 47 in a row. Sabonis leads the NBA with 60 double-doubles so far this season and 22 triple-doubles.
Sabonis and Kevin Love. Kevin Love, one of my favorite players in the league in the last 20 years. One of my favorites. These guys are tremendous players. People need to stop talking about records and look to Wilt first. Look and see what Wilt did. Then you can mention the other numbers, boys and girls. You don't just start with something since the merger. Start with Wilt.
Everything starts with Wilton basketball. Happy trails.
It does.
To the West Coast Conference Championship for Gonzaga. The Zags had won 4 straight West Coast Conference Championship finals and 10 of the last 11, losing only in 2019 to St. Mary's. Well, St. Mary's beat Gonzaga again last night, 69-60, to get the conference's automatic NCAA bid. Now, both teams knew they were going to the tournament. Gonzaga is ranked 17th, St. Mary 21st. This was the 14th time, Mike, that Gonzaga and St. Mary's had met in the West Coast Conference Championship game, all since 2004. Gonzaga usually owns St. Mary's, having beaten the Gales 26 of the last 32. I wonder if both schools will enter into a basketball agreement with the Pac-12. What do you think?
Well, they ought to both be in the same conference, whatever it is, they can play each other. Their games are fabulous to watch, Tony. And I know yesterday I wound up saying I pushed because I couldn't figure out which one. I thought St. Mary's had the edge. Their games are just worth watching. It'd be great to see them like in a regional final the Final Four.
Let's go to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
Louisville fired Kenny Payne. Your thoughts?
Tony, was like 12-52. It seemed like a really nice hire at the time, but it hasn't worked. It just hasn't. The Raiders released Jimmy Garoppolo and Hunter Renfro, and the Chargers cut Mike Williams. Does all that make sense to you?
And all these cuts are about money on some point. What makes sense is that Khalil Mack will be able to stay with the Chargers. Now, he'll restructure and stay. There's money. State running backs coach Tony Alford is expected to jump to Michigan. Is that allowed?
That's a whole lot more severe than going from the Giants to the Eagles or the Packers to the Vikings. That's so much more severe. It's hard to imagine, actually. Yankees ace Gerrit Cole has been shut down. We'll get more testing on his elbow. Your reaction?
My reaction is Blake Snell signed yet? Is Jordan Montgomery signed yet? And you lose. This guy's a Cy Young winner. Go replace him with a Cy Young winner. Last one.
Need an ace.
Connor Bedard had a career-high 5 points last night. Is that a big deal?
Individually, it's great. Collectively, no. The Blackhawks are now not in last anymore. San Jose is last, and the Blackhawks are next to last. This is bad for drafting first. That's all I care about right now. I love Bedard.
Let's tank, Blackhawks.
Tank. Yes.
A lot of time. Try to be better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.